long past midnight. I'm tired. I'm sitting in my wheelchair on the tarmac in the rain of the Evato International Airport in Madagascar. I'm waiting to get on the Air France flight that's going to take me to Paris and then home to D.C. I'm a lawyer and a conflict resolution expert, and I've just been delivering a training with my colleague Reet to the World Bank country office. So I'm sitting under an umbrella held by two of the local men who were there to help me get on this plane. Due to a car accident, I'm paralyzed, and these two poor guys have to carry me up 1.5 flights to get me on this plane because I'm staring in front of me, and there is a long set of silver steps that lead to the plane. There's no jetway here. I pride myself on being an independent person with a disability. So when I find myself in a situation like this where I have to have help, I try and make up for it by being charming, helpful, positive. The man at the bottom of the stairs gives us the signal to go up to the plane. Well, the two men grab hands underneath me and then grasp hands behind my back. I put my arms across their shoulders and up we go, up these steps. And we get to the top and the guys are huffing and puffing and we're about to enter the plane. But the flight attendant on board the plane says, "Stop, we are not ready for boarding." They're gonna make these two guys hold me here? But I don't say anything. So a couple minutes go by and I say, "Can we board now?" "No." I said, "Well, you know, maybe just that first seat." "No." Well, a few more minutes go by, and now I can feel the men trembling, right? I mean, they're really tired of holding me. And I feel bad for them. Plus, I think, oh, my God, they're going to drop me any minute. And then finally, the Air France flight goes, "You may board now." So we rush onto the plane, and they dump me in my seat with great relief. And they leave. And the rest of the plane boards, and my friend Reet looks out the window, and she says, "Hey, Ann, they're taking your personal wheelchair back to the airport." So we get a hold of the purser and much commotion, and we rescue my wheelchair, and we get it on board the plane, and I think, okay, shake it loose, we're done. I just settle in for my 12-hour flight to Paris. So, you know, midway through the flight, I call for the flight attendant, and I say, "Excuse me, but can you bring me the onboard aisle chair? I need to use the bathroom." And she says, "But it is not in the paperwork." "Okay, I still need to use the bathroom." She walks away. She comes back with a piece of paper, the manifest. She points at my name. She slides her hand over and says, "See, it says right here that you are a level C handicapped. That means you can walk." If only I had known all these years that all I had to do to walk again was get labeled a level C handicapped person in the Air France system, I would have done that a long time ago. But I say, "Well, you know, regardless of what it says in that paper, you know, I'm paralyzed, I can't walk. Perhaps you saw them carry me on the plane." And she says, "The paper is the ultimate authority." So Reet jumps up and says, "Just show me where the damn aisle chair is. I'll do it myself." So Reet gets the aisle chair. I use the bathroom. I'm back in my seat. No big deal. And the flight attendant comes up and says, "We have called Paris. We have told them all about you." I'm like, I don't get this. I mean, I do not understand what the big deal is, but I'm sticking with the positive, right? So I say, "Great. They'll have 6 hours to get ready for me." So we land, and I say to the flight attendant, "Could you please make sure they bring my wheelchair up to the jetway?" And she says, "But that is impossible. You will get your wheelchair when you get to Washington." And I said, "Well, it's not impossible. Every other major airline does it as standard operating procedure. And your colleagues in Madagascar told me I could have my wheelchair at the jetway, and they only tag the chair for Paris." "Oh, don't worry. It will be waiting for you at Dulles." And I'm like, "Well, you know, yeah, I almost left my wheelchair in Madagascar, and it's only tagged for Paris. I don't know how it's going to get to Washington. And if I don't have my personal wheelchair when I get home, I can't function." "Fine, we will bring you your wheelchair. Just get off the plane now." Okay. So I get off the plane, and they put us in a people mover, and we change terminals, and then they say, "You will have to go to baggage claim to get your wheelchair." And I'm like, "Really? I have to go outside of security?" okay. But I tell him, listen, you know, it's 1 o'clock now. My connection flight is at 2:30. We got to get this done quick. So we go to baggage claim and, you know, we wait. And I say to the guy, do you know when I'm going to get my wheelchair? He shrugs, talks to the walkie-talkie. Reet speaks French. And she says, they can't find your wheelchair. Well, 2:30 comes and goes. We miss the flight. It's 3 o'clock. And they finally bring my wheelchair out. And we make our way up to the Air France customer service, mega service, in the middle of the Charles de Gaulle airport. And I go up to the tall, slender blonde behind the counter. And she says, there are no normal flights to Dulles. You will have to buy a one-way ticket tomorrow. And I said, why do I have to buy a ticket? Well, it is your fault that you missed your connection. And I said, no. It's your mistake. You lost my wheelchair. No, madame. You insisted you must have your wheelchair. So Reet pulls out her cell phone, and she calls American Express, our travel agent. She starts, you know, complaining about how we're being treated. And the Air France lady leans across the counter, grabs Reet's phone out of her hand, pulls it back, and says into the phone, don't worry, I am handling it, and then hangs the phone up. And in that moment, something popped inside of me. There was this great rush of freedom. Because it hit me, you know? I am deserving the same level of respect and service as everybody else. This woman is going down. So I draw upon my legal and conflict resolution skills. And I say to that woman, you arrogant, ignorant witch. I am not buying another ticket. You are going to give me 2 new tickets, hotel and meal vouchers for my friend and I, or I'm going to stand here and scream my head off until you do. The woman freezes. In fact, hundreds of travelers in Charles de Gaulle Airport stop and stare at us. It's like the whole terminal is holding its breath, waiting to see what she will do. She slowly turns to her computer and starts clacking on the keys. There's the sweet music of a printer. Zzzt, zzzt, 2 tickets, zzzt, zzzt, hotel and meal vouchers. She slides across the counter to me and says, bon voyage.
Ann Thomas shared her story in front of a live audience at Center Stage earlier this week at the Stoop Storytelling Series. You can find out how to get involved with the Stoop as an audience member or a storyteller at stoopstorytelling.com.